Everyone here tonight. I'm always I'm glad for the privilege to be able to come and speak and share. You know, studying and everything. It's just like, man, the Holy Spirit just starts just churning in me. I mean, I'm excited, but boy, I tell you what, he's also excited. Yes. And so I was just like, Holy Spirit, I said, are you ready to help me? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm ready. He's ready. Yes, he is. Are you guys ready to hear?
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to be looking at Proverbs, and this is lesson 9. And in this lesson, we're learning on how to be financial freedom in part 1. And I believe Pastor Lorraine is going to do part 2 next week, right? So that's going to be great and awesome, too. So, man, I tell you what, a lot of us really know and understand a lot about this lesson. But, you know, we need to hear more and more so that from our heart we can believe and by faith, you know, walk in what God has promised, you know, what God has said. So let's go ahead and start with number 1. So we're going to look at Luke 6:38, starting off. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And who said this? Jesus. Come on, guys, wake up. Jesus said this. This is a principle that Jesus put out for his kingdom. Yes. You know, it doesn't mean save all you can and can all you get, which that's the worst philosophy, right? And their principle, you know, and step on whoever you got to get there. But that's not what Jesus, that's not Jesus, his kingdom's principle. You know, he wants us to be able to give. And the more you give, the more will be measured back to you. It's just a solid principle of the kingdom. You know, so I was just thinking, you know, in the natural realm, which God created too, right? He created electricity, right? And, you know, there's laws that govern electricity, you know, and as long as we follow those laws, then it works quite beautifully for us. Wow. It provides the heat. It provides the lights. You know, it provides, you know, electricity for us to cook our food and everything else. But if you go against those laws, it could kill you. It can harm you. You know, I was reading some statistics that 300 people a year lose their life from electrocution. And 4,000 get seriously injured every year, which I believe is like the third cause of, you know, a worst cause for accidents or something like that is electrical shock. So here is something that as long as you follow the rules, it can actually do something absolutely beautiful and wondrous for us, right? Well, guess what? If we go by his rules about giving and receiving, wow, what wondrous things can God do in our lives with this? But if we go against it, you know what? It'll put us under. Okay? Thank God for his mercy and his grace. We're all his kids. Some of us, you know, listen very intently and do. And some of us go, no, I think I might know a better way. But you know what? If you're his child, eventually it gets through to you. And then you'll learn. And then you figure out, oh, wow. If I just do it God's way, follow his principles, his teaching, then I'll get to reap what he said I was going to get, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know why we think we know better than God. I've been there a lot of times. Like, you know, I just want to slap myself when I finally realize, you know what? I finally realized, God, you actually know what you're talking about. Yeah. 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 I just hope I could have gotten here a little sooner. So hopefully, those of you who are just starting out in giving, you know, hopefully this will really give you something to launch off of. Because, you know, we want you guys to give, you know, because there is a need in the house, but we more so want you guys to give because we know what's going to happen. God is going to give back and bless you guys overly abundantly more than you can ask or even think or imagine. That's just what happens. That's who he is. And that's the principle that he has set forth. All right. I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway. Number 1, what is the overall key to financial freedom and prospering in God? So giving faithfully in tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let's read in Malachi 3:8-12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's important. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You know what? When the world sees the children of God, they said, oh, you know, that must be a child of God. Look how blessed they are. Wow, their God is so good to them. Look at that. They really are blessed. That's how we should be walking, in such blessing that they can't help but see that God has blessed us, right? That's where God wants us to be. So then how do we get to that place? You know, there's principles that we need to apply and walk in so that we can get to where we're blessed, you know. No longer go, oh my gosh, I don't have the money to pay my mortgage or my electric bill, to the point where I've got enough to pay that and my children's stuff, and then I've got enough, I got to look for someone else to give to, because and that's where God wants you to be. And that's how we show forth the glory of God, you know. And those who are able to give to then, that's when they're going to go, oh, my gosh, God has really blessed you to be able to do this and to do this for me. Amazing, right? So the Lord commands one-tenth of our income to be given to the local church to further his work. Offering is above the tithe. So offering, it's real easy. You know, your paycheck comes in. That's all you have to do is move the decimal one over, and then that's it. So God made it easy for us in Numbers to figure out what we should give him, you know. And then offerings are above the tithe, right? So if I know there's Christians that come in. I know when I first got saved and I heard about, you know, the tithe, I was just like, well, this is really different and kind of weird to me. I had never heard this before, because a lot of the stuff in the church I've never heard before. But I said, you know what? God has been so good, and I know he loves me. I'm going to do it anyway, you know. So right then and there, I mean, from a thankful heart, I started giving, you know, a tenth. But I know there's some that struggle with that. But that's okay, because a lot of us do start at that point, struggling to go, you know, can I even do this? I don't know if I can do this. But I tell you what, after tonight, you're going to go, oh, I need to, I don't know if I can. I need to do this. And God is faithful, and he is loving and kind. Offerings is above the tithe. So this is when the point where, you know, here you are, you're able to give the tithe, and you're giving it from your heart, and, you know, and but you have even more to even give, you know, and if you're faithful over top of that, so all your tithes should come into the church, right, where you're attending, where God has placed you, all right, so that there may be food in my house, as he said in the scripture, you know. Without it, this church could not operate. But, you know, everything that you give, everything that happens, every person that is saved or healed or blessed and trained out to go out in this world, it all goes to your account because you've given toward it. Without you, it could not have happened because of your giving. But over top of that is offerings. These are things that when you're praying, you know, and God's just like, I want you to give a certain amount to a certain person, maybe in the church or to another ministry or something like that. So when you give, give your tithe here. If there's something else to give, if God's leading you, then you give it to others or other ministries. And there's a lot of other worthy ministries out there, you know? So there are two reasons stated here to give. One, to not rob God. God can, you know, when we don't give, he's just like, look, that's something that I've given you and you're supposed to give, you know, a tenth to the, you know, my house so that we can do the work of the ministry. And when you don't do that, you're robbing God, you know. He needs this to be able to work. The second reason is that maybe provisions in my house, which I pretty much just said the reason why. So the fill in there is provision in God's house. By giving at least a tenth, what's that? Meat? Oh, okay. Well, than meat. Will work also. By giving at least the tenth, we stay free from covetousness and the love for money. 1 Timothy 6:10. This is, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, if we seek after money because we love money instead of God, then guess what? Sorrow is coming. You know, it's coming. I know a lot of people who are Christians who have decided that they're, you know, because of their businesses, they work so hard to build their business. Well, they start ignoring giving, but not only just giving, but even coming to church, because they love that money that's coming in so much. But what winds up happening is their whole life is destroyed over it, you know. And God sees that. We can't love money. Money should be looked at as a tool, you know, not something that we are to go after and love and worship and you know, store out and say, you know, the more money you have, the more you feel like you've accomplished something, you know. Really, I mean, love is a tool. When the more money you have, the more you're able to do for the kingdom of God is the way we should look at it. So next it says, note the strong words of the scripture. God says in Malachi 3:10, prove me. Prove me in this, in the realm of finances. The only time this phrase is used in the Bible is in reference to finances. So I just want to give you a testimony. So, yeah, I alluded earlier that some of us, you know, it takes a little while. So here I was a new Christian and I heard this and I started doing it. But I had a situation happen where a long while back now, because I was married once before, right? And so she wound up leaving. She's like, I don't want to be a husband. I don't want to be a mom. You know, I just want to be free. And I'm like, well, I can't stop you. So I've got our daughter who was 4 years at the time. Her name's Rebecca, you know, and she's gone. But she also left me all the bills, you know. So here I had a daughter. I was working full time. You know, I had to put her in daycare to even work, you know. And so, you know, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work my tail off. I'm going to work until I get all these base bills paid, and then I don't have to do that anymore, and I can go to church, and I can do all these things, you know, I really want to do and be a part of. So I worked, and 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 3 years went by. And I sat down, and I'm looking at all my bills, and I cried out. I said, God, I've worked so hard. I'm working, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. And I said, I'm no further along than when I started 3 years ago. Yeah. I was looking through my closet, and I think I had one pair of pants that didn't have holes in the knees. And I'm like, God, why? And he spoke very clearly. He says, you know why. You know why. A lot of us know what God has said. Oh, yeah. It's just we have chosen not to hear and abide by it, you know? So I said, I got down on my knees and I said, you know, I said, God, from this point on, I said, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go to church because I know I'm supposed to go to church, and I am going to tithe. You know what? I didn't have the money to tithe. But I had put in my heart, no matter what, I'm going to tithe. I had to basically not pay some of my bills so that I could tithe. You know, so I was like, I'd give $50 to this, and they would call me up and, well, you know, sir, you know, you gave us $50, but your bill's like $219. I'm like, well, you know, just be patient with me. That's all I had to give you, you know, but I made sure I tithed first. You know, I looked, this is what God put in my heart. He said to prove him, right? So here I'm going to church faithfully. I'm actually working less. I'm working, you know, 45 hours instead of 60 plus hours. And then at the end of the year, I was debt free. God's way is so much better. Let me tell you, I'm a testifying here. God's way is always, he actually knows what he's talking about. He doesn't say this to try to take from us. He knows if you'll do this, then blessings are going to come your way. Life is going to come your way. Okay? My gosh. You know, and after that, that was it. I didn't go back. You know, before that was kind of roller coaster giving Christian. I would give, and I wouldn't give, and I would give, and I wouldn't give. And then I had that long period that I didn't give at all. But after that, that's it. That is it. God proved himself to me, and he doesn't have to prove himself anymore, even though he keeps coming through and through and through and through. So, you guys, if you're not there yet, give. Follow what the Holy Spirit is speaking into your heart and give.
Yeah, Holy Spirit, just tell me to reminded me of this with my mom. And we were raised in a very abusive home, emotionally, verbally. My dad had a very good job, but he chose to spend it on women and drink. And then my mom stayed because the church told her to stay, that, you know, she would be condemned and she wouldn't be forgiven, all that mess. You know, we don't go for that. It's not in scripture. So then we're young teenagers, and so she just kept crying out to God because she said, Lord, I always wanted to go to the mission field. I can't go, but I want to give to missions, and I want to provide for me and the two girls and my brother. And so she goes, God gave her this amazing plan, and she goes to this savings and loan, and little bitty Laurel, everybody knows Laurel now. That's my hometown, the hometown show. Yeah. So anyways, she says, God, I'm just asking you for a plan. God gave her a plan. She went and borrowed, which was unheard of in those days, in the middle 60s, $5,000 to buy all of the equipment in a laundry and to rent a building. I don't know how it ended up being laundry equipment, okay? And then we worked there for all of our years. All the way up to 20 years old at the laundromat, you know, washing, drying, and folding clothes. And then she would pay a fee for them to pick them up from work and all that. And so she would sit and talk with us, and she said, well, I borrowed this money, and it's really scary, but now I'm going to have some income. You know, it's not, the whole picture's not fair, because my dad had income, but he wouldn't share it with us. So all that crazy mess. And she said, I'm making my faith statement to the two of you, because my brother had been so abused. He just said, I'm leaving home. I'm never coming back. Of course, God brought him back years later. But she said, I'm believing God that it's going to be paid for in 10 years. I'm going to start tithing regularly. And she did on a little bit, but she said, this is now my tithe and offerings, and I'm going to give to missions, and in 10 years, I'm going to have it paid off. 1 year later, it was all paid off. And she kept the laundromat for years and years and years and years.
God does it exceedingly abundantly, more than we can ask or think. So Diane's going to come up here. So the next part, it says, God further states, I rebuke the devourer, the satanic destroyer of your income. And Diane's got a couple of testimonies that have happened to us recently.
Yeah, so you guys have heard Tim talk about, you know, last December, his work came to him and say, as of January 1st, 2022, you no longer have a job with us after being with the company for 18 years. So that was kind of scary to hear. And we're like, talk about the devourer coming and taking away a two-income family and taking away a whole income, like half of our income now is gone. You know, we prayed about it, and I had complete peace. God gave me peace. God's going to provide. He's going to take care of us. And he has. This whole year, my income increased. God gave me raises here, gave me bonuses here, gave me opportunity to work overtime and work like with an extra special pay because we're so short staffed and everything. That our income, you can't even tell that it's almost the same as the two income. God has just been, provided remarkably. Like, the devourer has nothing on us.
Amen.
You know, and yeah, so, and another thing, Tim, this past, last spring, he had surgery on his eye. And so he did have the lens in his eye. He wasn't able to see out of his right eye. He lost his lens when he was about 11 years old. So he had no depth perception, nothing. So got him hooked up with one of the surgeons I work with, and they did the surgery. Well, we get the bill, and it's not what I was expecting to pay. I was expecting to pay, you know, $250. The bill was like $2,700, and I'm like, I was expecting to pay $1,200, and it was like $2,700, and I'm like, okay, this isn't right. So I called, and they give me the go-around, and I'm not paying anything until we get this figured out. So back and forth, they send it off to collections, you know, not even giving us a chance to, like, look at it. So I keep at it, and they actually called me back this week, and I got the final word this morning. But yesterday they called me, like, three times, left three different messages. We see, yes, where it should have just been this, and yes, and it should have just been this. And so it went from $2,700 to $1,200, which I would have been happy with because that's what I was expecting. And it came back to $750, and then it came back to $500. And this morning, they said, okay, final answer, $250. Now, the cost of the surgery was like $21,000. So they just kept. So, you know, the devourer trying to pull the wool over our eyes yet again and get us to pay a bill that comes in. So any medical bills you get, wait a little bit before you pay it. It's the lesson learned. Yeah, and so then the other one is like tax season is upon us again, and taxes is really scary. And when you get a letter in the mail that has IRS on it, to me that's the devourer coming back again to try to devour me. Puts, you know, fear in my heart. I start sweating. I start worrying, what did I do wrong on my taxes? And then when you read the first letters, the first lines, and it says, we noticed there was a mistake on your taxes. I'm like, oh, okay. You start freaking out a little bit. I'm like, Lord, no, you've got this. It's going to be fine. We see that there's a mistake. But, you know, you overpaid your taxes, so you have an extra refund coming to you. So again, the devourer trying to come, but yet, you know, the bottom line, this whole year, all I can say is God will provide.
Yes, he will.
God has provided no matter what you're going through, and not just finances, no matter what you're going through, health, work, whatever, God will provide.
Amen.
I mean, we're a standing testimony right here of what he's done. Just this year alone has just been amazing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, you need to give those testimonies, you know. When I give the testimony, she says, you didn't do it right. You didn't. I said, well, good, you're here. You can give these testimonies then. That way you can cover it all. So praise God, you know. I just, you know, those are just examples of God stepping in and says, no, devourer, no. But, you know, in the meantime, when these things come, we're not shaking our boots or anything like that. We know God has been faithful, and he will continue to be faithful. So those things come, and we're like, you know, God, no matter what, you've got it. Why? Because we have decided to do what you asked to do, to tithe and give offering. And because of that, you are on our side. You're working in our behalf. And you will rebuke the devourer in our behalf. He is at work. So just know and trust that he is at work. You know, when something comes your way, don't get scared about it. Don't get mad about it. Go to God and say, God, what's your plan here? You said you rebuked the devourer, so I'm expecting you to rebuke the devourer. You're going to be doing something to cause this thing to turn around so that we could stand in front of the church and say, brothers and sisters, God has been faithful again.
Absolutely.
He did it again, and he'll do it again for you. He'll do it again for you. This is a really exciting teaching here, guys. Because God's so good, and he's faithful.
Yeah.
He's so faithful. Love it. So we're going to read, let's go to Hebrews 7 and 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also the king of Salem, meaning king of peace. So who's he talking about? Jesus. So Abraham gave tithes to Jesus. Okay? So Abraham is the father of faith. You know, he is the father of the Israelites, but he's also the father of all those who by faith have received Jesus Christ. So we should follow in his steps. He gave to Jesus a tenth. We should give Jesus a tenth. He set up the rule. And you know what? He was so blessed. Kings came out to him and said, this land can't sustain you and us. You know, can you please go somewhere else? He was so blessed. And guess what? The blessing of Abraham, Jesus took the curse upon him so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. What is that blessing? Go back in the Old Testament, read how blessed Abraham was. And oh my gosh, he was blessed. That's where we should have our faith, our pinnacle to be. That's where I want to be, Lord, you know? And the same reason that Jesus gives us now that we should be looking for these finances to give so that those finances can come in is so that we could be a blessing and bring honor and glory to our God and our King. That's why God blessed Abraham so that he could be a blessing. You can't be a blessing if you don't have what you need. But if you have more than enough to meet all your needs, your family's needs, and then you're going, oh, my gosh, what do I do with all this other stuff? God, what do you want me to do with it? Oh, you want me to give it here and here and here? That is where God wants us to be. And you know what? When we're faithful to do that, God's like, he was faithful again, so I gotta up his allotment again. That's good. You keep it up, sons and daughters. You keep it up. Oh, my gosh, he was faithful again. Look at him, man. He is having so much fun. She's having so much fun with this. Now, that's definitely my son and daughter. Man, they're doing it right now. That's where he wants us to be. Don't accept anything else, anything less than that. That's what Jesus bought and paid for. Jesus bought and paid for the best of the best of the best in every area of our life, including finances. Yes. Amen. Hebrews 7. 8 through 10. It's a coming. Well, the line after that says, Abraham and Jacob paid tithes to God before the law even came. Okay. So here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Who's Melchizedek? Jesus. That's right. Tithes was paid to Jesus. Okay. So Abraham and Jacob paid tithes to God before the law. So we see that in a couple of instances here. But because of time, you guys can read that on your own. So we might have time for one testimony, if anybody would like to give a testimony along these lines, of how God has just been faithful in their giving. Okay. Matthew, come on, brother.
I just wanted to say, like, when something doesn't work out, something else does. And so I don't know if y'all knew that I was trying to buy a house, and it didn't work out for a lot of reasons, good reasons. However, for like this much moment, I was like really angry. I was like, oh, come on. And I broke a personal cycle, you know, and that personal cycle being like, I didn't go, God, why are you allowing this? Ah! What I did do was my confession was, if this doesn't work out, something better will. Yes. And it was just so funny. I was talking to Jennifer Costell. I was letting her know what happened because she was curious. I was so pumped to get this house. And as I'm talking to her, this is like the day after too. I'm talking to her, as I'm speaking to her, out of the blue, a random person just starts texting my phone going, hey, are you looking for a place to live? And I went, who's this? And we have a place that just became available. I'm going, you don't say. what's the, and it wasn't to purchase, but it was to rent, because I was really just trying to get my own place established, you know. And sure enough, that day, by 5 o'clock, I went to go look at the apartment for rent, and it was everything I needed, asked for, wanted. God blessed me with more of that. I mean, Mom and Dad saw the place. I'm not living at the YMCA or anything. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I just kept saying, if this doesn't work out, something better will. And it surely did in under like 24 hours. It was the craziest thing. So yay to God.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, to stay in that place of faith, you know. God loves me. And so there was a reason why this happened, because God's got something better. He is amazing. Well, praise God. So look, number two, what are the seven motives of the heart for giving that brings results? Number one is humility of heart. Knowing who is our helper and strength, Proverbs 22:4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So when we humble ourselves, saying, God, you've got a plan. I know you love me. And you know what? I'm going to look to you because you're faithful. You know, and then riches and honor and life come from that. You know, when you're always in debt and working and working and working like I was in my testimony, not getting anywhere, that's not life. Oh, my gosh. I just felt like I was trapped. But praise God, when I finally started doing it his way, then there was life. I had life and peace and joy because I was doing it God's way. And that's what happens when we do it that way. You know, there's it says, we are to give God the glory for prospering us. We are to give God glory, but also others will give God glory. Why? Because as we give, God prospers us so much and we give, then they give glory to God also. And that's how we bring glory and honor to him. It says, beware of the self-made man syndrome. What is that? That was when I was saying, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull my bootstraps up, and I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to get these bills paid off myself. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do it. I, and I left God out of it. And look where it got me. You know, I've got a relative that has worked really, really hard for the past 5 years, and he's done some really remarkable things financially, you know. He was a manager of a food store, and he wound up buying a house and renovating it, selling it, then buying another house and kept it and rented out. And I thought maybe he had like 25 houses, and I'm sitting there talking with him, and he's got, in 5 years, 80 houses. But you know what? He used to go to church, you know, and, you know, talked about God and all this. Now he doesn't want to have to do anything to do with God. In his mind, in his heart, that he's done all of it. Right? He told his wife, he goes, I don't want you giving no money to that church, you know? And so he'll, you know, if he goes, it's like, you know, if you want to give him $10, then that's fine, you know? But you know what? His life is in ruins. It doesn't matter. I mean, look at it. You can have everything in the world that there is to offer and then completely be miserable, unfulfilled, and in bewilderment and depression because, wow, I thought if I had got all this, I'd be happy. But when you leave God out of it, then it's just going to lead to disaster in your life. So be careful of that. Don't, you know, let's lean on God. Let's trust in him. Let's do it his way because he'll come through. So B, it says, we are to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7. This is a verse that Diane quoted earlier. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know what? Praise God. Once I figured out God was it would be faithful to his word, it no longer was, oh, I'm going to give, but God, this is really high. I'm going to trust you, though. I'm going to trust you. And then when I saw him come through again and again and again and again, finally I was like, I want to give, you know. Man, the more I give, God gives back. I figured out that you cannot, I love this phrase, you cannot give God. When you really give with a cheerful heart, you know, God sees that. And my gosh, he multiplies whatever you give back to you. That's just who he is. That's just what happens. That's what I've experienced and continue to experience. And if you're not experienced, if you do it, if you say, I'm going to do it cheerfully from now on, you'll get to experience the same thing. Knowing we are giving to God eternal, God's eternal cause. We're laying up treasure in heaven, which it talks about in Matthew 6. We're enabling many to be set free from sin and bondage. That should make us joyful. You know, we should be in joy that we are able to give to this house so that we can do the work of the kingdom, the work of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people being healed and saved and set free and filled with the Holy Spirit. And financially, they're coming out of poverty, and they're being blessed for the first time. They feel free. You know, there's a lot of really good things going on in the people's lives here. And it's all because of you guys giving. Without you guys giving, you know, they might have had to try to go find some place. And I can tell you, there's not very many places, churches like this church, that teach the way, the things that we're teaching, the truths we're teaching. They want you to be fully aware of all that Jesus has done for us. And part of that, and it's an essential part, is finances. So if we can get into, you know, and figure out what God's law in the kingdom is about giving, which we read it first of all, Luke 6:38. That's what Jesus said. Give and it will be given. Then when we get into that law and we do it right, well, then guess what? Blessings come. Yes, they do. So, see, we are giving willingly, not because of condemnation. So let's look at Exodus 25 and 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I'm guessing that's not the right scripture. Let's try 1 Chronicles 29 and 9. The people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. So this is when they were taking up collections to build the temple. And I was listening to Andrew Womack. And basically what they did is the amount that David gave, they calculated what it would be worth today, okay? And he said it would be worth almost $4 billion. One man giving $4 billion. I mean, you can think, oh, maybe a nation the size of America maybe, but not the size of Israel at that time. What? And then the people also gave in response, and it was another $6.5 billion. To the temple, to God. And they gave it willingly. You know? Why? Because I really believe they understood that the reason they were blessed is because of God. Because of God. Yes. You know? And that's why they gave willingly. Anyway, willingly. So let's see. D. Say, we are to give freely with no reservations. Ezra 2 and 68. Some of the heads of the father's house, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to erect it in its place. So the temple of David had been destroyed, and they were coming back. And here they are again. They gave willingly, and they were able to take up all that they needed to build the temple again. So it also says, so we are to trust the leadership of the church to manage the finances as God's stewards. I have another relative, younger relative that we've talked with, and they, you know, established in their life and their marriage, you know, tithes and offerings. And you know, they started and they were struggling at first even to pay their bills, but then they started tithing, and then all of a sudden they experienced something they hadn't experienced before. All their bills were paid. Right? And then they had so much more. They were actually looking for money or other places to give money to. I mean, they were experiencing what God had promised, yes. Right? But then they had gone to a church for quite a while, for quite a few years, and they got higher and higher and started seeing how some of the money was spent. They didn't quite agree with it, and they think it's right. Well, they came to me and said, you know, we really don't like this what's going on, how they're doing this. I said to them, this is how you look at it. If God has said for you to go to this church, then that's the church you're supposed to go to. And if that's the church you're supposed to go to, that is where you're supposed to give your tithe, okay? You have to know and understand that when you give your tithe, you're not giving to the leadership of the church. You're giving to Jesus, right? Once it leaves your hand, you have done what you were supposed to do, all right? And then when they receive the money, they are going to be held responsible for the money that comes to them. They're going to have to give an account of what has come into their hands and what they did with it, okay? So your concern is not what they're doing. Your concern needs to be on what you're doing. Now, if God says, no, you need to go somewhere else, then follow what God says and go somewhere. But if he tells you, no, go there, well, then if you see that there's something that's not quite right, you pray for them and try to encourage them. Tell them what and how you feel, in a humble way, right? And then once that's done, then you just pray for them. And you say, God, it's yours now. They're your children, right? So instead of doing that, they decided they would go to another church. To me, I think they kind of took a step back because now they're going to a Baptist church. So I'm hoping they might find another church that is more, charismatic. But right now, they kind of fell into a trap. Here God is just blessing and blessing and blessing, and then all of a sudden, I think the devil found a way to get to them. I know he's still going to have mercy and grace upon them because they're his kids. And we're going to keep loving and encouraging. But we need to be really careful, You just know that when you give, you're being faithful to give to Jesus. And that's how you should see it. And then it's on the leadership, on their shoulders, to be responsible to God what's given. Okay? So E said, we are to give out of our ability. So Deuteronomy 16:17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. And on the next scripture, Mark. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make up a quadrant, and I'm not sure how much that is, but apparently not very much. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put it out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." God sees in percentages, yes, right? So if you only have a dollar and you give a dollar, well, that is way more to him than if someone gives $1 million and they've got billions. It may say, well, what is my dollar going to do? Well, in God's kingdom, it does a lot. It shows how faithful and how committed you are to your God and your Father and to the kingdom, that you would do this, And so to him, it means a lot. And because of that, when God's moving in your favor, it's worth a lot. So F, we are to give for God's glory and not our own. Mark 6, verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't be like those Pharisees that have trumpeters come. Bop, 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 bop. Look what I'm giving. Look how awesome I am. I'm giving to God. Pat me on the back. Here's my back. The glory should be given to God, knowing that he's the one that gave it to us to begin with. And we're just giving back to him what he has given us. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 9. Let's just go to, let's go 10 through 13. So important. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's the right thing to give. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberality sharing with them in all men. What happens is God blesses you so that you can be a blessing. And when you give to people, they're going to be in wonderment, you know, that you would love them enough that you would do this for them. But when you make sure that you said, no, this is from God, God told me to give this to you, you know, then they can turn around and say, oh, God, wow, you love me too. God loved me enough to get you to give me this. This blows people out of the water. They really have to sit down and think. But it really brings glory to God. So, we are to give with simplicity, literally, which means sincerity. Not just with a motive to get back. Our heart's desire should be to bless the kingdom, and in so doing, we will reap in time. Let's look at Romans 12 and 8. Just two more scriptures and we're done. So he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So he who gives with liberality. And here it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Okay? When sincerity, God wants to do it because we love, not because out of duty or we feel we have to, but because we have the love of God in us. And that God, that love in us drives us to give, you know? If we do it for any other reason, God's like, well, it's not going to profit you anything, so check your heart. Do it with all sincerity and love when you give, you know, when you follow after him. God, I give because you love me and you've shown your love to me. Now I want to show love to others in this way, you know? So anyway, this is financial freedom. I promise I've experienced this. Many here has experienced this journey of giving and seeing how God has been faithful and he comes through, and we all have different testimonies, amazing testimonies how God has just come through. And if you're just starting out, my gosh, get started, because I tell you what, you are going to be amazed. You're going to see how much God really will keep, how faithful he is to what he said he would do. So I love you guys. This has been a fun lesson, so. Homeless outreach. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, we go out and we do what we can with what we have, you know. And so we go out, and usually we have 50 or more people, you know, that we run into downtown Raleigh. And what we do is we bring them, you know, a bag with a blanket and a Bible and, you know, hygiene stuff and a sandwich and waters and all these things. And my gosh, they appreciate it so much, you know. And I would love to do more. It'd be great if we can go, hey, you know, do you have a place to stay? We've got a place to stay. Well, we're not set up for that yet. But I would say yet, you know. I think as we continue with God, God is more than enough to bring us to that place. But right now we're not. So we're doing what we can to go out and be a blessing to them, you know. What we seek, too, is before we give them that bag, we hand them that bag, we're trying to have an opportunity to pray for them so that God gets inserted into their lives. And a lot of times they're healed, you know. They might not even been expecting it. Yeah, you can pray for me. And we pray for them, and all of a sudden they're healed. You know, well, that gets their attention, you know, when they're blessed and they feel, when we pray for them and they feel his presence, maybe for the first time, well, that gets their attention, you know, this starts hopefully getting them to turn away from where they're going. And well, maybe I need to turn toward God, toward Jesus. So it is an important ministry. I love it. I love going out there. It's amazing to see what God does when we go out there. And this is, you know, we're going to be doing this here soon again, and so this will be another opportunity for you guys to go out and do. Yes?
I just wanted to say that homeless people, I got saved. I recommitted my life in a homeless shelter. So that Bible study is the reason I went back to God repentant, you know. So reaching out to people, you never know what it'll do. And I was in the shelter when I quit smoking. It just took me to new levels, just being there, being ministered to by the churches. So it makes a big difference.
Mama says, hallelujah. You know, it's wonderful when you're going out there and you're talking. He says, look, I need to change my life. I need to give my life to Jesus. And then we get down on our knees right there in front of everybody on the sidewalk, and we pray for him to receive Jesus. So looks like we got something else. He couldn't stop. No.
You know, the point is that God sees it when nobody else does. We took Tim to on a doctor's appointment, and so Roseanne, we stopped by the Dollar Tree. Now I'll let Roseanne tell you what happened at the Dollar Tree. This is like 2 days ago.
He set you up. I
would be, if I didn't give her the mic, I'd be sleeping on the couch tonight, and that couch is cold.
You didn't tell her why.
It's not his story. So I go to the Dollar Tree, and I'm standing in line, and he's sitting in the car. And the girl in front of me was struggling, and I could tell she was struggling with more just with money. I could tell that she was on something. So I was just standing there, and she was, don't get in the middle of my message, please. She was, she tried to run her credit card. And I think she ran it like 2 times. So I could tell she didn't probably have no money on that card. So I said, let me just pay for it. So I paid for her stuff. And she turned around and looked at me, and she said, are you Chance Johnson's mother? And I went, yeah.
30 years ago.
I said, yeah, I am. I am. And she said, I'm Brittany. And I'm going, you are Brittany? Oh, my gosh, I didn't recognize you. So I said, are you living in your mom's house? And she said, yes, but I went there yesterday, and she's not. But that's right around the corner from where Kimberly lives. So anyway, I know how to contact her. I know how to contact her parents or grandparents. But it's a long story. I don't want to get into that. But right, and this goes with Pastor Dave's message from Sunday about getting out here and meeting people. Well, about 3 weeks before that, I go to Bojangles with Ronnie. We never go on Capitol Boulevard. So I go over there, and I walk in. I'm standing with Ronnie, and this little girl comes up to me, and she says, don't I know you? And I'm like, well, I don't know. She said, from church. I said, maybe from church. And she said, what about a glow? And I went, Faith? And she said, yeah, I'm Faith. And she was a little bitty girl about 8 years old that used to come to a glow with her mother. And she used to color on Saturday morning that once a month, and her mother would bring her. And she is now a mother herself, grown up with a job. But I can tell she needs a loving mother. She's got a mother, but her mother has been troubled all those years. But she needs love. She needs some direction. And I know the Lord has put me in those two women's path.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I'll tell you, God sees it all. I mean, it's just crazy. When the church that we went to 30 years ago, I'm sitting in the church, and this guy comes up to me, and this young man comes up to me, and he leans over and says, Mr. Graham, Angie's dead. And I went, what? And so his girlfriend had got killed in a car wreck in the middle of the night, and I was the first person to tell, and he said, we don't know what to do. So these were real good friends of ours, which is this little girl's mother who was died in the car wreck that she's talking about. It's her mother, and she was just a kid herself. So it's crazy. So I get up out of church, and I go to the house, and the parents are in full denial. It's not her. Someone stole the car. It's not her. They were in so much of a denial, I had to go to Harold Poole Funeral Home and make funeral arrangements and take care of all the funeral stuff. They were in such denial. But this is that little girl's mother. And so, see, God sees everything. God sees it all. He doesn't miss a thing.
Wow. Well, we do every Wednesday night. If you're not used to, we ask everybody to come up and get in the circle, because we're going to pray. We're going to take up prayer, have prayer requests, and then we're going